So Sound Transit is pretending they want to listen to the community. I guess probably the so-called CEO of that criminal organization, Pete Rogoff, has... he's probably picked some people already to sit on the Citizens Advisory Board. He's probably just already got that all sort of stacked. But now they're advertising. They want people, you and me, folks like us, who are under the taxing district of that criminal conspiracy, to sit on a Citizens Advisory Board. So, let's do this. Let's absolutely flood their system with applications from people like us, who know Sound Transit is using an illegal car tab tax, who know that Sound Transit funds illegal lobbying groups. Mass Transit Now and Transportation Choices Coalition should be registered as lobbyists. Two great media pieces on that, Seattle Times and the News Tribune have disclosed that. Why don't we get on that board? Do me a favor. Fill out an application to be on the Sound Transit Citizens Advisory Board. Here's all you need to do. And I'll do the rest. Text the word SCAM, S-C-A-M, to 800-465-8770, and I'll send you the link to apply. Go apply to be on the Citizens Advisory Board. Let's increase the odds that someone like us gets on that board. SCAM to 800-465-8770. Speaking of SCAM, Sideshow Bob went out and sued a guy who's creating fake nonprofits. A, good job, Bob.
Today, the Attorney General's office filed a lawsuit against the man they say created fake nonprofits with names similar to actual nonprofits. Investigators say Hosang used an address on Capitol Hill at a location of each nonprofit. We went there this afternoon and found it was a UPS store. Instead of Suite 260, it's a mailbox number. According to the lawsuit, the names he used for his fake nonprofits were American Cancer Society of Seattle, American Cancer Society of Washington, American Red Cross of Seattle, American Red Cross of Washington, United Way of Seattle, and United Way of Washington.
So, Sideshow Bob does a good thing. Now, Bob, I am going to tell you about someone running two illegally organized so-called political groups right here in your backyard. Now, you like yourself, Bob. You want to be the big sex symbol, right?
I'm too sexy for my shirt.
This is one of our Sideshow Bob things.
My shirt's so sexy, it hurts.
And can't you just picture him all preening in front of the mirror, getting ready to go on the TV on MSNBC? So, from a great website that really everybody should read, it's sccinsight.com. It's Insights in the Seattle City Council. This is an older piece, but it struck my memory. It's from April 2018. And the author of the piece, Kevin, goes through and describes the fact that Shama Sawant's two organizations, 15 Now and the Socialist Alternative, they're complete financial scams. Now, that's probably not illegal. The Bhagwan Shrill Sawant said that she would take a normal worker's salary. She would donate the rest to fight for the cause. So, yeah, she's been donating money, but guess where she donates it to? Yeah, her own group. The majority of the money she donated went to two of her groups, Socialist Alternative and 15 Now. And that was $13,800 to Socialist Alternative, and $11,000 to the other that they spent flying the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant all around the country. But more to the point for our so-called Attorney General is that the Socialist Alternative, it's not registered with the IRS. It's not registered with the state of Washington. In fact, the IRS revoked its 501c4 status. All this means is that people who are giving money to this organization, they don't get to see where it goes. It is clearly a lobbying group. But I don't see Bob's interest drawn to this, our part-time attorney general. And the other organization, 50 Now, the piece here says it's a little bit better, but not much. It's also not properly registered. Oh, and also incidentally, the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant's spouse, Calvin Priest, has an undefined relationship or interest in 15 now and has apparently taken money out of that group. So, Bob, why not go right here in your backyard and demand that this entity, these two entities, be legally organized in Washington State so that the people who give them money can see where it goes? They're clearly PACs. They're clearly campaign organizations. They're clearly lobbyists. I'm not going to hold my breath because you didn't go after Mass Transit Now, which is illegally a lobbying group, or Transportation Choices Coalition, which is also an illegal lobbying group, through which Sound Transit launders taxpayer money to fight to get more taxpayer money. One of the huge portions of that unthinkably large scam. Speaking of scams, the Seattle City Council has decided to pass a law to protect utility customer data. Why? Well, because, you know, the rates of utility has got to go up because the usage is going down and all these dang, earth-safe appliances and such. But are they really protecting us?
The TVs and refrigerators today use almost 70% less energy than they did 20 years ago.
Residential and commercial energy use is declining, even as the population grows. And that's due to significant increases in energy efficiency.
But Seattle City Light still has to pay for projects like this.
Oh, so Seattle City Light can't change its projects, couldn't see the fact that they have forever been subsidizing devices that use lesser energy. They couldn't tie the two together. But the Seattle City Council is going to protect your customer data. Oh, that's great. What data? Oh, yeah, the smart meters. The smart meters that you have to opt out of if you're a Seattle City Light customer. You have to opt out or they're installed on your home. Now, if you opt out, you pay more for electricity and energy if you opt out. If you fail to opt out or you choose to let the smart meters into your house, the Seattle City Council wants you to know they've passed a law. A law. Okay? I mean, that's pretty serious. To make it illegal to hack your data. So, right there, that'll stop the hacking. Because it's a law. But what about the data they're going to use? I'm warning you. With all my heart, I'm warning you, as a guy who spent a great, fun, terrifically profitable career in tech, I'm warning you, just like the driverless cars, self-driven cars aren't self-driven, they will be government-directed cars. You will go in your little shipping container at the time the government tells you you can go with the number of people in the little shipping container the government decrees you must have, at the speed the government decrees you must travel, and then you're home. When the smart meters come, you will power your appliances when they tell you to. You will do the dishes when they say they can be done. Or you'll pay exorbitant rates if you choose to do your laundry when you want it done. Now, eventually, technology will catch up and you'll just load your clothes into a machine and it will wash when the government says it can wash. But what if you don't want that? So I don't think the Seattle City Council can do anything to protect us against hackers. They're buffoons. Well, I mean, they're corrupt and they're buffoons. But here's what I do know for a fact. I'm not worried about hackers finding out that I wash clothes at home. What I'm telling you is coming is a prohibition on you washing your clothes or doing your dishes when you choose to. Oh, that's not all. Your house is too cool. Oh, unless you're willing to pay blackmail rates like the 405 tolls. You can't have your house at 72. We've said 78. Or pay triple for energy. Oh, but they've passed a law to make sure people can't hack. Because, you know, hackers, they're famous for following the law. I hope you've texted in the word scam to 800-465-8770 so you can join the Citizen Advisory Board of Sound Transit and then you can be my mole. I love it. We'll continue on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. I am going to share with you the greatest single act of culture jamming from a Republican office holder in the history of the world. Well, maybe not that, because, you know, dumping the tea in the harbor. But that was a different animal. In the modern era, I'm going to tell you, an older guy named Jim Lyons is the biggest stud in the history of fighting against the sexual left who has ever lived. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. The text line is open. We've got your emails coming up. It's about 4:45. I'm going to tell you, I had no idea who this guy was, but he is the biggest hero in fighting against the sexual left that I've ever seen in Republican politics.
Well, I don't mean to piss you off with things I might say. So when I try to shut my mouth, they come out anyway. So when I speak my mind, that's when we connect. Yeah, but that's not politically correct.
But what this guy did here is so clever. So great thanks to Howie Carr, great radio guy out of Boston, for putting this together. Jim Lyons out-PCs the Democrats. So this is an older guy, and they're doing, back in his state, they're doing Massachusetts, they're doing a gender bill. They want to put the letter X on driver's licenses. Now, I know there's people who are confused about their gender. I understand gender dysphoria. It's a painful way to live, and it's also your business. Be what you want to be. Just don't force me to pretend. And also, let's not go out and do what Jim Lyons proves is insane here. So they've been pushing this because it's a virtue signaling exercise. It's an intersectionality exercise. That's what it is. It's intersectionality. It's inventing new victim groups. So in pushing this, Jim Lyons wanted to fight it, but he did it in a super clever way. He called it No Gender Left Behind. So you want gender X, he said. Well, sounds like separate but equal. Because there's not just two genders. Or three. See, he came across, said he's woke. He said, basically, I'm going to take a stand against this new Jim Crow. We have to name all the genders. None of them can be left behind. So he asked, how many genders are there? New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio had said that there are 31. That was his ruling. There was other research that said there are 57 varieties of gender. They had to figure this out because Lyons wanted to go to the House floor and create an amendment, a series of them, to this Democrat bill creating the gender X. So he looked into Facebook. Facebook says there's 73 genders. So he chose 73. He went to the floor of the House. And he said, look, we can't leave genders behind. So he started filing amendments for all 73 genders. Amendment number 6 added cis. Amendment 9, cis female. 13, cis woman. 14, cisgender female. 18, cisgender woman. Now, the Democrats, they couldn't oppose these. They couldn't say, no, that's too many genders. So he kept adding them. Amendment 21, gender fluid. Amendment 22, gender nonconforming. Amendment 23, gender questioning. 25, gender variant. 26, gender queer. In all, there were 73 genders, 73 amendments that the Democrats knew they'd have to sit there, and it was getting late at night. Oh, here's the other bit of the fun. Lyons would have 10 minutes to debate every single gender. And then 3 minutes for a roll call vote 73 times. This would take hours. So by midnight, he had already filed 35 of the 73 amendments. That was 6 hours worth of debates and votes. And the Democrats folded. They folded. They've removed the gender X from the floor. And he didn't do it by saying, no, there's no such thing as people being confused about their gender. We know there's such a thing. He didn't do it by being cruel and saying, oh, they deserve to live in the closet. No. He did it by holding up their process to them. It's brilliant. And it worked. We come back. Mark Levin shared something about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who, by the way, as Rush Limbaugh pointed out this morning, every one of the candidates she endorsed lost. I have a new theory as to why Ocasio-Cortez cannot describe how to pay for all the socialism. I don't think it's because she's stupid. I actually think it's worse than stupid. And they're still trying to make her the new face of the Democrat Party. So what could be worse than stupid? I'll let Levin explain what he uncovered about Ocasio-Cortez and explain my theory. Plus, the media is warning about an incredibly hard right, incredibly conservative candidate everybody needs to be concerned about. Hi, Tom's in an aggressive mood. Young Tom, the producer. Got to get another special out of Young Tom. Shorter, funny, still. Gave him his first shot at fame last week. It went pretty well. So I have a new theory about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. As Rush was pointing out, let's listen to his analysis. He and Michael are in agreement completely on this national election. So, you know, Michael and Rush are two different human beings, both doing national shows, and they view things differently. But they're both in agreement that there's not a lot of good news for Democrats out of this election. And both Rush and Michael are so blessed at communicating polling data. It's not a skill that I think I have. But they're so blessed at communicating that. But I want you to know, two guys with two different views, both of them committed to the Republican cause, and both of them seeing not a lot of great news. One of the things that Rush mentioned today to his enduring amusement, and I don't know about you, but I get a kick out of Rush when he gets a kick. And he was enjoying the fact that none, see, even I like this, and I'm not a popcorn and politics guy. None of Ocasio-Cortez's, the future of the Democrat Party, none of her endorsed candidates won. And yet she was able to go on this like nationwide tour. You know, going out and speaking for leftists. Well, I have the new theory about Ocasio-Cortez. I was listening to Mark Levin. See, I do the talk show, but I'm still like you, I'm still a huge fan of talk radio. And I love my colleagues like Mark and Michael and Rush. But clearly, shoulders are giants. I get that. Levin comes at things differently from Mark and Rush. You know that. And Levin's intellect just fascinates me. We've had him on the show twice. He's fun to talk to. But he uncovered some information about Ocasio-Cortez when she was in college.
During her time at Boston University, where she studied economics and international relations and graduated in 2011 with cum laude honors, she described herself as a believer in Adam Smith's analysis and wrote a number of blog posts hinting at her views, according to posts reviewed by Fox News. She believes in Mahatma Gandhi's methods, Adam Smith's analyses, and Pablo Neruda's love.
Okay, so an Adam Smith adherent, was she? So are we talking freedom of markets? That sort of adherence? He also talked about her earlier views on health care.
The New York Democrat could also learn a few things from herself, having written in a 2009 post that while health care in the U.S. is at its most critical crossroads in recent history, the debate about it is moving slowly for a good reason, she said. That reason being that, quote, health care is largely an intersection of money and people, which means health care discussions often involve the prioritizing of people according to available funds. How can one possibly measure the needs of children, the elderly, the sick, and the healthy against one another?
You hear this? So she's saying, how could you possibly intersectionalized healthcare. How could you centrally plan it? How could you do that? Because you, a limited human being, you can't do that. Committees can't do that. The wisdom of the markets can do that. And if she was an Adam Smith adherent, the Wealth of Nations, a free market capitalist philosophy from Smith, this is who she was all these, you know, very, I mean, you know, the short time ago when she was in college. So this got me to thinking, it's not stupidity. It's worse. The stupidity part is when she's asked, how do you pay for this stuff? I'm telling you, I don't think she could answer because she'd start dying laughing. How can you have gone from the Wealth of Nations to something that's a relatively complex thought about the impossibility of central planning? Listen to Levin again describe this.
The New York Democrat could also learn a few things from herself, having written in a 2009 post that while healthcare in the U.S. is at its most critical crossroads in recent history, the debate about it is moving slowly for a good reason, she said. That reason being that, quote, healthcare is largely an intersection of money and people, which means healthcare discussions often involve the prioritizing of people according to available funds. How can one possibly measure the needs of children, the elderly, the sick, and the healthy against one another?
So she's now saying she can do that. Worse, she's saying Bernie Sanders can do that. Bernie Sanders, who was once emotionally affronted and triggered when he witnessed too many choices of deodorant. Literally. No, that's not a lie. You know, there's too many choices of this deodorant. The cinnamon is fine. That's a relatively masculine scent, but with a suggestion that you're open to your feminine side. But the sea salt or the mint, you cannot have a mint deodorant and not be bringing about some form of aggression. It's an aggressive smell, and I'm not even going to get into the musk. When you're wearing the musk, basically you're saying that you are someone who has stolen a fur from an indigenous person from their encampment, and now you're wearing the fur with the musk and that smell. And that's just too many choices. So Bernie Sanders, she's saying now, is capable of directing the healthcare markets. How do you go from laissez-faire economics and the wisdom of the markets and the wisdom of the crowd and people seeking a product in enough numbers that people will provide products in enough numbers and that other people then seeing, wow, a lot of people are buying that deodorant with the cinnamon musk smell. I think I'll make some. Or, wow, a lot of people making money doing MRIs. Maybe I can do them cheaper. To believing it should be centrally planned. This is literally why I think she can't answer the question, because she'd die laughing. You want to freak this woman out, ask her what happened. Ask her, what was wrong? Where were you the moment you realized that Adam Smith was a clown? Where were you when you realized that the Wealth of Nations was an idiot's rant, idiot's ranting at the moon? Where were you when you realized that a committee in Washington, D.C., headed by you and Bernie Sanders, can, in fact, figure out who deserves what health care better than the market itself? Specifically, where were you when you had this realization? Now, here's what I think's going on. I think that she has told us, I think she's confirmed my theory. So she was doing one of her many interviews, this Ocasio-Cortez, who again, all her candidates lost in this election, all of them. And she was talking about soccer moms.
You know, their heyday was in the 90s when, like, you know, kids had like Furbies and like parents, so you had like soccer moms with like two vans and stuff. Like
Furbies and two vans.
Yeah. That's not America anymore.
Oh, it's not America anymore. Soccer mom. Oh, that's not America anymore. Oh. So she did learn something about markets. The market demand in New York is for a socialist. And she is now one. Huh. See, I said it was worse than stupid. We'll come back with your longer form communications with the show. There, there we are, my favorite portion of the program. We'll get to your emails and social media posts, your longer forms of communication with us at the Todd Herman Show. You can always email me, therman at ktth.com. And let me tell you, I solicit, I covet, I want, I crave emails from new listeners. We got a lot of regular emailers. That's just the way of things. Man, I want to hear every voice that I can. So please make a habit, therman at ktth.com. Of course, text, that's easier, just during the show, 800-465-8770. And Twitter is at Toddy Herman. We read those all during the show. But right now, you guys become the star of the show. Hey, you're the stars of the show! Do I sound like a cheesy DJ? From John on a Facebook message. Oh, yeah, facebook.com/Todd Herman Show. I've lived here for over 34 years. The political class has been telling us the entire time that expanding road capacity would never relieve congestion, that expanding capacity was futile because it would attract more people. In essence, they sold us the idea that if we don't build it, they won't come, that things won't get worse. Meanwhile, the population increased by more than 50%. Were they just wrong? Or have they had a different agenda all along? An agenda as contrary to our interests as the Seattle streetcars, too big for their tracks, like the tracks in the Metro bus tunnel, had to be replaced. I've come to the conclusion this is all about a political class yearning to become a ruling class, nudging us, like a herd, into their corral. You are correct. That is exactly what it is. Roger Millar was vice president of Smart Growth, who envisions us living in transit villages like... I'm not even really using transit that much, because in Roger Millar's vision of how you live, well, not how he'll live. I mean, you know, someone's got to live in the beautiful homes in the country, folks like Millar. But how you'll live... walking around in your 2, 3, 4 block ecosystem. No need for anything more than a streetcar. Because why would you ever need to do anything other than take a choo, choo, to get on a bus, to go up to the mountains, to hike and tell the King County Metro bus honks its horn, and down Tiger Mountain you trot with the other... back on to your shipping container. Yep, Millar, so-called executive director of the Washington State Department of Transportation. That's his vision. Good on you, John, for noticing that. JJ in Burien on the banishment of wrongthink. Hi, Todd. I want to address the banishment of wrongthinkers like Alex Jones from sites like Facebook and YouTube. I'm hearing a lot of media outlets talk about how extreme and horrible he is, and there's quite a bit of debate regarding whether or not that kind of speech should be banned. You are one of the few I've heard falling in what I consider to be the correct side of this debate. Many that I respect are not on the right side of that, but there's one aspect that no one has ever addressed. I listen to Alex Jones pretty regularly because I'm aware of them as characterizations of his comments and his views in reports. Those of us who clearly see President Trump's comments being taken out of context and mischaracterized as part of the fake news should be able to at least entertain the possibility that the same tactic has been used on InfoWars for years. Sure, Jones is loud and obnoxious, and he's been correctly in front of a lot of stories over the years before they were broke by the MSM. The whole thing is clearly a test on banning conservative ideology. Demonize, then banish. Given the time and inclination, I'm sure I could edit up enough audio to make you, Rance, Rush, Mark Levin, or anyone else with a large enough body of work look like a hateful monster. If we accept this banishment of InfoWars, this tactic will be deployed on every other voice of reason until social media is nothing but the views of Sarah Jung and Joy Behar. God forbid. Thanks, JJ. Yeah, I don't give a whit about Alex Jones. I've never watched InfoWars. I have listened to Alex's radio show when I was in California because I was very curious about it. It was on Sirius Satellite Radio, and it was really highly produced, but I don't like Jones. I don't care about Jones, not a whit. I've never spent 6 seconds thinking about Alex Jones or InfoWars. Well, that's not true, because I drove my car from Nevada to California, or the rental car, and listened to him. But here's, you're right, JJ. This is a test run to see who else they can ban. Now, if this was one thing, like Jones spreading fake news, like he did, my understanding, spread despicable fake news about the shootings of the school kids back east. I'm forgetting what city that was in. But I had a friend of mine whose mom was there in the school. That happened, okay? This is a guy I've known for 20 years. His mom was there. She survived. Sandy Hook. Okay? That was not fake. Now, if he was being banned for that, that's one thing. He's not. He's being banned for something that can never be proven. It's hate speech. It is undefinable and purposely so. That's like saying, we will not have any food that's too salty. Explain too salty. Well, except that way you could use milligrams. Or how about this? We're going to ban food that's too orange. That's like hate speech. Yeah, Facebook, YouTube, their platform, do what they want to do. Me, I'm ready for a reverse boycott. I just don't think conservatives will go along with it. Conservatives don't do that. From an email Hall of Fame member, Adam from Coopville, subject matter, ice pick. Hey, good morning, Todd. I don't know what caused me to casually research the practice of lobotomizing mental patients, but it was a good reminder that the practices that are widely supported by the smartest people can look absolutely awful in hindsight and only lasted 20 years through the 40s and 50s, but was pretty widespread. One of the doctors who pioneered this procedure was actually won a Nobel Prize in 1949. Of course, we know now that it is morally wrong to treat a psychological condition through surgery. As one critic put it at the time, quote, turning the insane into idiots. But do we? Are there any other psychological disorders that doctors are attempting to address through surgery being practiced in the present day? Lobotomizing patients to keep them quiet seemed like a fad that died out after a relatively short time. Surely there aren't any other similar fads being pushed by, quote, experts that we will come to regret in the coming decades. Are we really so much more enlightened now? They had the, quote, science on their side back then as well. As my friend Josh says, let the listener understand. Brilliant note, Adam. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH and the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Your chance. Reminder, your chance to get on the Sound Transit Citizen Advisory Board. Really, honestly, I want to flood this website, okay? So I will explain how you can get on the Sound Transit Citizen Advisory Board right after we do traffic and news. So stay right there on the Todd Herman Show.